Good morning. How are we? Are we okay? I know for many, right, it's been a really, really good week. We've learned a lot. And I know I look a lot like the scout. But I'm actually the scout's brother. And I'm the serious brother. All right, so we're gonna have to listen in. Question I want to start with. Woody asked a similar question yesterday. But I didn't get to see. I was at the front, didn't see the hands that went up. Who here watched the Cricket World Cup final last month? A lot of you. It was amazing, wasn't it? Absolutely amazing. For those that weren't there, there was three balls left. England needed 9 runs to win. Victory, it was looking questionable. And then this happened. Ben Stokes, he's facing, he hits the ball and he runs. He runs one, he comes back. And he thinks he's going to get run out. So he dives for the line. And the ball comes in, it hits his bat, and it runs away for 4 runs. England end up getting 6 runs from it. It was ridiculous. Like, the official rules, it shouldn't really have been 6. It should have been 5. But it changed the game completely. It was a decisive turning point. Arguably, one of the greatest ever. And England went on to win their first ever Cricket World Cup. Sport is filled with turning points. Some Liverpool fans might jump to Wijnaldum's goal against Barcelona in the semi-final. Others to Johnny Wilkinson's dropkick in the 2003 World Cup final. Maybe you're sitting here and you can think of your own turning point that changed the outcome of the game. Well, today I'd like to talk to you about the greatest turning point of all time, Jesus Christ's resurrection. Yesterday with Woody, we witnessed Jesus' death. After being crucified on a cross, Jesus was dead. Dead and buried. And this is where we pick up. My first point is it's the turning point for the women. So look down to verses 1 and 3 with me. They read, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?'" Here you have it, the three women walking up to the tomb. Imagine how they felt, devastated, afraid, shocked. They just lost their leader, the very one who was meant to save them. And here they are, carrying spices to put on his body as a sign of a respectful burial. Jesus was dead. What now? Look down to verses 4 and 6 again. Because everything's about to change. It reads, "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone that was very large had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.'" Here they are, walking up to the tomb, asking the question, who's going to roll away the stone? Forget it. They've arrived at the tomb and the stone's been rolled away. So they enter the tomb, they look around, and Jesus' body is gone. It's not there. And instead of seeing Jesus, they see someone else in the tomb. An angel dressed in a white robe. Imagine their reaction again. They'd be nervous, anxious, afraid. What is this? 3 days earlier, they had seen Jesus be laid in this tomb. And now, it's empty. But not only that, the angel speaks and says this in verse 6. "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Jesus hasn't just disappeared. He's alive. He has risen. He is not here. This is the turning point for the women, much like Ben Stokes for England in the World Cup final. Just imagine how they felt. It took them by complete and utter surprise. You can look through the passage, verses 1 to 8, and we see these things. They were alarmed. They were trembling and bewildered. They fled from the tomb. They were afraid. It's a game changer for the women. No longer is Jesus not in the tomb, but he is alive. He has risen. And then we go on to point two. Not only is it a turning point for the women, it's a turning point for the disciples. Look at verse 7 with me. It reads, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." The women have been instructed to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. Until this point, the disciples would have been in a room in Jerusalem, afraid, upset, uncertain about what was going to happen next. But here's the turning point for the disciples. As the women are told to go and tell them about Jesus, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you'll see him just as he told you. Jesus told them this would happen. Back in Mark 14, verse 28, he said, "After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." But this isn't the only time that Jesus told his disciples he would come back to life. In Mark chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus said he would suffer. He would be rejected and killed. And after 3 days, he would rise again. This is the most outrageous claim ever. Jesus predicted he would die and come back to life, and he's only gone and backed it up. The disciples should have seen this coming, should they not? Go on, imagine if I was to tell you, in 3 years' time, on the 15th of August, 2022, a man wearing a yellow suit, a hat, will come up to you. And he'll give you £1 million. Not only that, immediately after he's given you £1 million, there'll be a lightning storm and the man will disappear. It's an outrageous thing to say. You'd think I was a nutter. Yet 3 years later, the day arrives, 15th of August, and a man walks up to you in a yellow suit with a hat on. He gives you £1 million and crash, bang, snap, lightning, and the man's gone. It would be a turning point. You would finally believe me. It would make you trust that what I say will happen and come true. Well, here you have Jesus, who said he would suffer and die on a cross and rise again. And he's only gone and done it. Imagine how the disciples must have felt hearing this. That Jesus is alive as he promised. Get in. That Jesus will meet them in Galilee as he promised. Get in. It's a monumental turning point for the disciples. But not only for the disciples. My third point, it's a massive turning point for everyone. At the end of Matthew and Mark, we see the disciples meeting Jesus in Galilee. Jesus tells the disciples to go and tell everyone that he is alive and the Son of God. We, us, have a role to tell people of the truth all over the earth, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, this isn't just for the disciples, but for you, for me, and everyone who lives on this earth. Stokes changed the course of the World Cup final, Wijnaldum potentially the Champions League semi-final. But Jesus Christ has changed the course for the whole of humanity. His resurrection is the ultimate turning point. He proves that there is life after death if you trust in him, believe in him, and apologize for rejecting him. Yet 2,000 years later, we stand here. And many people question, did it happen? Did the resurrection happen? I just want us to look briefly at the debate over the empty tomb. We've got five options about why it happened. Firstly, the tomb was empty because the disciples stole his body. Secondly, the tomb was empty because authorities stole the body. Thirdly, robbers stole the body. Fourthly, the whole thing was made up. Or fifth, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So tell me, where's the body? The disciples didn't have it. The authorities didn't have it. The robbers didn't have it. It would have been in their interest to produce it and stifle the rumors of this man called Jesus. If the whole thing was made up, why would the disciples be willing to die for a lie when they had absolutely nothing to gain? And it doesn't stop there. After Jesus rose, there are 500 people that saw him before he ascended to heaven. 500 people. And this all points to one conclusion in verse 6. The tomb was empty because Jesus has risen. He is not here. Jesus is alive. Listen, if there's anything you're going to take from this, Jesus Christ is alive today, right now. And it changes everything. Suppose you sit here and you ask, well, what does that mean for me, for us? Well, I've put this into 3 points. Firstly, Jesus is who he claimed to be. He is the Son of God. Here you've seen the truth. In Mark 9, we've already highlighted it. It said the Son of Man will suffer, die, and rise 3 days later. Jesus Christ has done what nobody else has ever done. Predicted his own death and resurrection. Jesus is the Son of God. Secondly, it means we're forgiven. For all those times we've rejected God and turned our backs on him. If you believe in him and turn back to him and apologize for what we've done wrong, you are forgiven. Why? Because Jesus came back to life, proving that death and evil have been defeated. If Jesus had stayed dead, death and sin would have won. But he didn't. Proving our punishment for sin has been dealt with and that we are free. And lastly, thirdly, there is life after death. If Jesus hadn't come back to life, he's just an ordinary guy who did some pretty cool things and he's been put in a tomb. But by coming back to life, he is a living king. He is the Son of God and he is alive. He has conquered death, allowing us to be in relationship with God. Death has lost its sting. It's no longer the end. And there is life after death. And for all who repent and trust in him, there is eternal life with God. Look at what Jesus has done. He suffered, died, and come back to life for you and me, because he longs to be in a relationship with you. We don't deserve any of this. No matter what you do, Jesus loves you regardless. no matter how good at sport you are, no matter how many friends you have or how you look, Jesus loves you. Remember that Jesus Christ is alive today and wants to be in a relationship with you. And the question I want to ask is, who do you say Jesus is? Are you willing to put your trust in Jesus and share this wonderful news with others? When you go back to school, when you go back to your sports clubs, will this be a turning point in your life? Woody, thank you.